morning, Saskatchewan, on this Thursday, the 3rd day of July. Brent Laux, happy to be in the chair again one more time today. I'll be here tomorrow as well. Evan Bray returns on Monday on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. We've got a busy, action-packed morning for you. On the way here at 9 o'clock, we're going to be checking out the feelings of separatism in Western Canada. We've got the author of a recent study and a report comparing the sentiment in Western Canada with the sentiment that we saw in Quebec years ago regarding separation. That's after 9 here this morning. After 9:30, we've got Matt Britton from SGI checking in. You may have heard the story a week or so ago. Members of the NDP here in Saskatchewan were saying the province should get rid of mandatory used vehicle inspections that come into Saskatchewan from other provinces. I don't really think that's a good idea, but we'll see what SGI has to say about that with Matt Britton coming up after 9:30 here this morning. Also, Saskatchewan Water Security Agency putting out an advisory telling people to beware of blue-green algae in your favorite swimming hole, perhaps. We've got Sean Jakes, president of the Water Security Agency, here after 10 o'clock. We're going to pay a visit to the RCMP Heritage Center, which is apparently one of Regina's top 5 tourist attractions. Are you concerned about the amount of time your youngsters are spending on a screen? And especially with summertime here, bored kids may be spending more time on their iPad or on their phone. We've got a clinical psychologist coming up after 11 o'clock this morning with advice about warning signs and suggestions for parents, how to keep the kids less engaged on the screen. Also on the way this morning on the Evan Bray Show, 11:30, we've got Conrad Keller checking in. He's the head trainer and the founder of Sunshine Service Dogs. Did you know in Saskatchewan, it looks like to me anyway, anybody in Saskatchewan can basically say, oh yeah, my dog's a service dog. You can buy a service dog vest, you know, I think online, but there needs to be more regulation on what a service dog is, how they're trained. Conrad Keller is a trainer and founder of Sunshine Service Dogs, and we'll talk to him about that after 11:30. And in the time that Conrad's here, if you've got any questions about training your dog, perhaps he'd be able to take a call or two on that after 11:30 this morning. And our final guest coming up in the noon half hour, we'll be checking in with a professor at the University of Ottawa on some recent findings about rocks and how some of the oldest rocks in the world may be right here in Canada. Oh, yes, we also have a guest that we'll check in with this morning after 11 as well. Just some thoughts on this confirmed merger of Viterra and Bungie, all of that. It's a busy morning, like I say, on the Evan Bray Show. We're going to start off right now checking in with Professor Dwight Newman. Dwight is a constitutional law prof at the University of Saskatchewan's College of Law and Canada Research Chair in Rights, Communities, and Constitutional Law. And what we're talking about is this decision that the province of Saskatchewan announced a few days ago that they're going to join Alberta in this legal battle against Ottawa. And it's all about how Canada's natural resources are developed, I should say. The Federal Impact Assessment Act. There was changes made to it recently, but Alberta and now Saskatchewan are saying those changes aren't enough. So we'll get a little more insight on this from Dwight Newman. Hi, Dwight. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi. Yeah, I'm happy to talk with you.
So what is the legislation as it now stands in Ottawa, and what's the beef that Alberta and Saskatchewan have with it?
So, I mean, it's pretty technical legislation, the Impact Assessment Act. It's lengthy legislation, some people have informally called it the No More Pipelines Law, it was a controversial piece of legislation when it was first passed, and it replaced the National Energy Board and did a lot of other things in terms of regulation of environmental assessments. That law got struck down in part as unconstitutional by the Supreme Court of Canada a little while back now for exceeding the scope of what the federal government is allowed to regulate. Mm-hmm. And then the federal government passed amendments to that law that try to limit the context where they're regulating something in provincial jurisdiction. But Alberta says that they've not amended it enough, and that it still intrudes on provincial jurisdiction, and Saskatchewan is now agreeing with that and formally agreeing with it in court. I think Saskatchewan agreed with that before, but they're now going to participate in the court hearing as well.
Has there been any discussion on this on the part of Prime Minister Carney and a lot of the announcements he was making after the election about how there would be more opportunities for major projects, that they'd be reducing regulations? Is this in any way connected to that, and do we anticipate the Prime Minister weighing in on this at some point?
Well, so that's a really interesting aspect, that I think the federal stance may be shifting a bit, but whether they're going to amend the Impact Assessment Act, I'm not sure. Certainly, the federal government is taking steps to expedite some types of projects with this Bill 5 that's under discussion, or Bill C-5, I should say, the federal one, and we'll see where that goes. But if legislation sort of hypothetically intrudes on provincial jurisdiction, if the Impact Assessment Act does, I don't think the provinces will be calmed entirely by the fact that there's other legislation that allows the federal government to sometimes move more quickly. And so that in itself won't resolve the dispute on this constitutional issue, but certainly there is a different stance going on in Ottawa, and we might see some change to the Impact Assessment Act. Whether that would address all of the jurisdiction issues would be a different matter.
What kind of projects are we talking about here that the provinces, these two provinces, feel that Ottawa is overreaching on?
Well, I mean, in the first version of it, they were really trying to regulate all kinds of mining projects and hydroelectric projects and oil sands projects and oil and gas projects. So that seemed to step into a lot of things that the provinces had traditionally seen themselves as the lead regulator on in some respects. The amended version speaks still to there being so-called designated projects, and those could be in those same areas. It's actually, frankly, probably less clear legislation in some ways in the amended version as to what will be on the list. But the same types of things could be subject to federal regulation, except they claim that they're going to regulate only the effects within federal jurisdiction, I guess is one of the main shifts in the amended version. But it does mean they could still be into dealing with mining and oil and gas and so forth in ways that the provinces say is not traditionally part of the federal role.
There seems to be this sense of urgency, at least to me, in this country right now because of what's happening with our relationship with the United States. We're hearing more and more people talking about we've got to get major projects going so we can expand our trade with countries other than the United States. So when I think about urgency on a matter like this, where Alberta and Saskatchewan are now saying Ottawa should back off as far as some of the projects that they would be considering, do you anticipate something like this going to court, having a remedy soon or later?
Well, judges are certainly aware of the overall climate, and they would try to take some account of that in getting decisions out. There's limits on what they can do in terms of the process, especially if there were to end up being a division within an appeal court, say. Court processes are not a rapid means of decision making, especially when they could be subject to further appeal. And I mean, this is starting out at the Alberta Court of Appeal. Depending what happens with it, we might see it back to the Supreme Court of Canada. Mm-hmm. And then we're not talking about something in the course of months. We're talking about over the next few years, we'll get to a decision. And as you say, there's a sense of much greater urgency. So I think both the federal and provincial governments are doing things apart from this case, and they can be taking steps to streamline processes. We'll see where all of that goes.
Any sense of how this would look for Alberta and Saskatchewan if they were to win this, to get this amended Impact Assessment Act?
If they got this struck down, I think that they would see that as a very strong protection of provincial jurisdiction. And I think in part they're interested in the case probably just to reassert some of those boundaries within the federal system to defend sort of a classical division of powers between the federal and provincial governments. So there are really longer term things at stake, more so than necessarily just about the particulars, situation, which might have to more urgently be dealt with outside the courtroom, just to have those barriers in place to federal intrusion is significant to the province's longer term.
Going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And like you were saying, it's one thing that it's going to the courts, and who knows, we'll see whether or not it maybe is a topic that the Prime Minister would perhaps weigh in on at some point here. Dwight, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your insight today.
Sure. Happy to talk with you.
You bet. Dwight Newman, a constitutional law prof at the University of Saskatchewan's College of Law and Canada Research Chair in Rights, Communities, and Constitutional Law. Okay, Evan Bray Show, Brent Laux with you. Happy to be filling in again here today. Hot in the southern part of the province again. Regina looking for a high today of 34. Saskatoon more in the 30 range. Lots of wildfires burning in the north. Now more up in the northwest. We're going to hear some of the comments from yesterday's briefing as to the areas most affected and how people are dealing with that. It's 13 minutes away from 9 o'clock. You're listening to the Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Morning on the Evan Bray Show. Brent Laux filling in here till 12:30 today. Lots of interesting guests joining us through the course of the morning. Hope you're able to stick around with us. And anything on your mind today, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on our text line, also our phone line, same number, 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. I had a text in already. You might have heard the story in the news where a group of property owners impacted by wildfires are getting legal advice, and there's some discussion about perhaps a class action lawsuit against the province on the part of these folks. One of our listeners, Kevin, texted in at 1-877-332-8255. He says, what a ridiculous idea. No, the government didn't do anything for these people. And acts of God in wildfire zones is now the government's fault? What have these people who own property in a wildfire zone done to protect their property? These fires were mostly human-caused and some intentional. It seems odd the recent starts with the rain they've been getting, so it's still happening. Sorry, folks, but when you live in a fire zone, you have to accept some risk, like people that live in a floodplain or tornado alley. That's off our text line from Kevin, his reaction to this talk of a potential lawsuit against the provincial government. And hearing some of the numbers coming out of the briefing yesterday, a good summary of the numbers from areas already impacted by wildfires and the ongoing concern, as we can take a listen in to Steve Roberts, who is Vice President of Operations with the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency. This was from yesterday's briefing.
There's actually a large number of fires on the western side, sort of from north of Beauval down past the lake and actually all the way to Dory Lake. So there's a number of fires. Collectively, the concern is access for people north of that. So there is some cautionary acts in place for that. But the biggest fire of that group is actually the Muskeg Fire. It is in close proximity to Beauval. So they're making preparations, but that fire has led to the evacuation, as we mentioned, of the community of LaPlange, the LaPlange Indian Reserve, and also we have a fire farther north, not the same fire, that led to the evacuation of Bear Creek. So it's actually a number of fires. It's not one big fire. It's just the activity on the west side significantly increased over the weekend. Due to those fires, then we came in the drying trend, and we started to see those fires get up, and with the breezes that came with them, some of those fires have grown. So nowhere near the size and scope of the fires we've seen so far, but obviously enough to be a concern to those local communities.
And that was Steve Roberts from yesterday's wildfire briefing. He had more to talk about in the Dunair Beach area.
Currently, we have confirmed 2,129 values burnt by fire. That's either completely or partially burnt by fire. And some of the breakdowns of significance is that's 299 homes, and a home is a year-round occupied structure, 125 cabins, and 312 vehicles. The rest of those numbers are, for instance, could be sheds, could be a boat trailer, could be other things like that. But those are the significant numbers. And that's from every fire anywhere in the province since fire season started, but recognizing that the bulk of those are coming out of the Dunear Beach area.
And still a lot of fire season ahead of us. Steve Roberts with the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency yesterday. So a total of 299 homes have been lost, 125 cabins, 312 vehicles. Wow. And lots of summer still ahead. Good morning, Brent Laux with you. This is the Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.